Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us for this fireside chat as part of our FreightWaves Small Fleet and Owner Operator Summit. I'm Kaylee Nix here with a very familiar face for the FreightWaves crew, Spencer Tenney from Tenney Group. Spencer, thank you so much for joining us for this fireside chat. Obviously, we know that you are no stranger when it comes to chatting about the mergers and acquisition space. And I'm grateful to have you here with us as we're going to kind of reframe it in the smaller side.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for having me, Kaylee.
Absolutely. And when it comes to M&A, oftentimes I feel like when we talk about that in the freight space, it's very broad scope, and it often applies to these bigger companies that are involved in very large transactions. They're making big deals. They're spending billions on billions of dollars sometimes. And that's because it's headline grabbing. It's big news making. And then oftentimes it moves the stock market. But M&A is just as important when it comes to our smaller fleets, to our owner operators, especially in a down freight cycle. Talk to us a little bit about how you've maybe seen the last year affect any M&A activity on the smaller side of things.
Well, first of all, there's been I would say for Q3 and Q4, there was a pronounced slowdown of all activity in the space, largely because of two things: the freight market, and then this accelerated sequencing of interest rate hikes that was unlike anything that we've seen in the last 40 years. So understandably, both buyers and sellers took a wait-and-see posture, even while the cost of doing business increased dramatically. And so a lot has changed, even in Q1, and that has had a tremendous impact on M&A just through January through the first part of April.
So let's touch a little bit on some of those changes that have happened. I feel like a lot of folks entered 2024 with like a 180 done on their attitude, from pessimism to reserved optimism is what I'm going to call it. People went from this quarter after quarter after quarter, sometimes month after month after month, of seeing the Fed raise interest rates, of people saying, well, we're in a recession, but not really feeling the recession until they looked at their financials, and then saying, well, what are we going to do about it? 2024 happened, and it felt like everybody was like, okay, we made it through the worst. Well, let's see what we can do now. What were some of those things that have really marked a change, maybe both in the attitude, but also in the very tangible aspects of where the freight economy sits right now?
I think some of it's just acknowledging the realities of how deals get done. There were a lot of folks that needed and wanted to transact, both buyers and sellers, in the back half of 2023, but it was so difficult to, you know, find alignment on valuation and structure when the business was continually changing month over month, given the environment that we were in. And so the biggest change it sounds oversimplified, but it's not. Just we're in a much more stabilized market. It's not ideal for either party, both in terms of the cost of capital or the freight market for that matter. But when you have pain in a marketplace, you don't need ideal conditions. You just need stable conditions. And that allows both buyers and sellers to work together collaboratively to have a meeting of the minds on both value structure, transition strategy, and how to take care of shareholders.
So for a while, especially in 2022, 2023, some of these big deals we were seeing being made involved freight tech companies, not necessarily the true focus of this particular FreightWaves TV event, but of course, important to talk about. In the broad scheme of things, some of those freight tech companies had managed to secure astronomical valuations, in some case overinflated. Is that still the case as we're looking into the way that the M&A space is looking for 2024? Or have people kind of come back to earth and really started to understand the reality of like, wow, we were looking at these inflated valuations and we can take a more critical eye about that now?
Yeah, without question. I think that it was a little bit of the wild, wild west in 21, 22, specific to freight tech capital investment. And to be fair, it wasn't just isolated to freight tech. I just had lunch, literally walking into this this meeting with an investment banking friend of mine who focuses in healthcare. And you know, during that same period, he talked about how on fire the tech within healthcare had a similar craze and has since dried up. And I think that's part of what we see in freight tech right now is a much more disciplined approach towards understanding: does this thing have something viable that's sustainable? And it's just much more cautious. Certainly, tech within this space is going to be critical to win the future, but making sure that investors approach this with, you know, a conservative and realistic value approach when they're investing is going to be key to being sustained.
So looking at our small fleets and even some of our owner operators, but more focusing this question on the life cycle of a smaller fleet in this space, let's call it like 5 to a company with like 50 trucks, just for numbers sake, right? When we're talking about the way that a down cycle in a freight economy works, we often see a lot of these smaller owner operators, these smaller fleets decide, okay, I'm either going to have to close my doors, I'm going to have to sell my business, or I'm going to have to look at declaring bankruptcy. And for a lot of cases, some of these larger fleets or maybe mid-sized fleets who want to become large see a down freight cycle as an opportunity to acquire drivers or equipment out of these smaller fleets for cheaper. Is that something that we have seen over the last kind of 6 to 9 months? Is that some of these smaller groups are getting snapped up and maybe some minute deals, but we see those mid to larger size fleets starting to capitalize on this down cycle?
Where we see the most change, and this happens whenever there's a down cycle, is that your acquirers that typically have a certain kind of floor of the transaction that they'll consider will start going below that just to meet the realities of the marketplace. Because if capital is more expensive, or just the ability to get debt to go facilitate transactions is more limited, then it can often affect the profile of what you think about growing via acquisition. So the good news for that is that folks that may not have been able to attract attention in a more, call it favorable M&A in environment, are actually doing quite well because if they can be an inexpensive solution that solves a problem that, given the alternatives of trying to grow via organically, it's a much more cost-effective alternative. So in every cycle, there's opportunities like this. And so I think that for folks that are in that spot that are feeling some pain, just because you are personally experiencing pain doesn't mean that you can't be a prescription for change for another operator who really needs what you have.
So we are 4 years now out from the start of the just absolute craziness that was the COVID-19 pandemic. And we are at that, I would almost be willing to put money on the fact that we are at that normalization piece, right? We've come back down fully to earth. We've grounded ourselves and we're coming back to those realizations of what happened and learning our lessons from it now. With that inflated environment, the lessons of 4 years, 4 years ago, what do people look at for the next 4 years? Is if they're taking a step forward today, what is setting them up for success, either to make them attractive in the M&A space if they're looking to be bought, or to set them up for success in ability to purchase, to make an acquisition or find a merger if they are looking to do that?
A few basic things. Number one, there's a lot of folks that the roller coaster of the last 4 years has been too much, and they had just decided on their own that they're not interested in the next 4 years. And so I think that's part of just evaluating how, you know, do they want to continue to ante up and put chips on the table? Some do, some don't. But I think the reality is, you can't go through a four-year period like that and not ask some hard questions of yourself. So I think that's number one. Number two, I think it's a really exciting time to think about reinvention. There's a lot of folks, to your previous question, that never thought about growing via acquisition. But what's interesting about this last year, you know, when the cost per mile per truck went up 21.3%, according to ATRI, it really gave license for a lot of smaller mid-sized fleets to begin reinventing themselves in the way that they think about creating value and growing their businesses. And that's a really important attribute as business owners in this space think about winning the future. There's so many innovations taking place in the area of technology, but yet the only way to experience those amazing opportunities that as far as growing efficient, you have to have skill. So
sure, sure.
Growing via acquisitions is going to be an important step to moving at a pace that is consistent with what's required to offset these unforgiving rising costs in our industry. So for me, it's exciting because I believe that a lot of folks are going to respond to the challenge in the marketplace and do some really exciting things to create value.
Yeah, for all of the toughness and the lessons that came out of the pandemic times, I'd wager to say that this idea of shelving the status quo has been one of the things that has been most beneficial to us, and really taking the time to sit down and relook and say, okay, what if I don't do this way just because it's how it's always been done? What if I choose to do it a different way and see how the outcome of that goes? As far as subsets of the trucking space that you think are most well set up to see some increased activity in the M&A space this year, does one exist? I said trucking, but in terms of all transportation, do you think that there's any one particular subset that is most ripe for a pickup in M&A activity, or one that we should be keeping an eye out for to see some big deals get done?
Well, I can just tell you from our, again, to remind your viewers, most of our business is sell-side representation of companies of 20 to 300 million in annual revenue. So currently, we represent 18 businesses that are within that kind of top-line revenue range. The most action that we have been in the middle of over the last, call it, 30 days, brokerage, dedicate, like drive-in dedicated, and then bulk haulers. And for a variety of different reasons, but the feedback that we're getting from your most experienced acquirers is that these solve a problem even from a capability standpoint that they don't currently have. Many of the brokerage companies that are getting a lot of attention have some type of niche expertise that has insulation from all the disruption that we experienced the last 12 to 18 months. And then the same goes with the dedicated and the bulk haulers. The buyers are acquiring these companies because they either provide insulation, diversification, or some type of contractual type revenue, which addresses a very specific sensitivity that maybe created some pain for them in the last 18 months. And so I think that's what we're experiencing directly. Not that that's exclusive to what's available in the market, but we've had a major uptick and expect four of those transactions to go into contract in a matter of weeks.
So last question for you here, and kind of honing in on that just a little bit deeper. We've seen a really big uptick in cross-border freight with a lot of our groups that are based in the United States, particularly south of the border, U.S.-Mexico freight. And a lot of those groups that are coming out of Mexico, whether that's brokerages themselves, offshoots of brokerages that are based in the United States, or the small fleets, the carriers that are based in Mexico themselves as well, has now found a foothold in, I guess, kind of the general American supply chain overall. Do you see Mexico as a good opportunity where some of these companies have started, are based, where folks in the United States could be looking at and say, hey, this could be a cheap option for us to gain some talent, gain some capacity, gain some assets that are already established south of the border. So let's look at doing some acquisitions there.
Well, I don't know if my opinion matters, but I certainly believe that folks are actively leaning into that. They're coming to us and they're specifically requesting for opportunities that match the description of what you just said. So I think it's something that we're definitely leaning into and can certainly validate that acquirers are seeking opportunities to explore and activate synergies in that cross-border region.
It's going to be interesting to watch. Everybody talks about how there's so much opportunity cross-border, not just in the reshoring aspect, but also in this potential M&A space. We know if we take a look down at the border states, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, everything is exploding down there, from brokerages to warehousing to all of the above. So we'll certainly keep an eye on that headed into 2024. Spencer, for folks who want to get in touch with you guys or maybe look at working out some deals through Tenney Group, where can they go to do that?
Yeah, like I said, sell side, buy side advisory, thetenneygroup.com. But also, I would encourage you just follow me on LinkedIn. We put a tremendous amount of content out there, try to educate people about the process. That's the best way.
All right, Spencer, thank you so much for joining us for our Small Fleet Owner Operator Summit today. We'll be sure to keep up with you on LinkedIn and much more pretty soon.
Thanks, Kaylee.
Thank you guys all for sticking with us as well. Make sure that you stay tuned with us because we've got plenty more Fireside Chats coming up after this one. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.